Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word. The last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome to each and every one of you who have tuned in for the first time this morning. And we hope you make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. And for those of you who've been many faithful listeners for many months and weeks and years now, we say thank you to you. We're grateful for you. And we hope you come back each and every Sunday morning also and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we invite each and every one of you to participate to help support this ministry. Not only to keep this radio broadcast coming each and every Sunday morning, but also to help to fund and encourage the endeavors of the ministry in other aspects. As we speak today, we're making plans to go back to Kenya and to Africa again in late summer, and so I want to invite each and every one of you to participate in that and just join in and be blessed by supporting the great work that the Lord has given us to do over there. And so there are a couple of ways that you can encourage us. One, just by being a prayer supporter, a prayer intercessor for this ministry. And if you would like to do that, let me know at my email, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and drop me an email. Let me know you want to be an intercessor. Let me know you want to be on the email list. And at appropriate times, I will get emails out to you to let you know what's going on in the ministry, and some teachings also will be sent to you. And so that is one good way that you can help to support the ministry. Also, pray about your part in helping to support this radio broadcast by making a contribution. If everybody out there listening today made a small contribution or even a large one, we could continue this broadcast for many years to come, and I know that's the Lord's will. And so if you would do that, just sit down and write out a check, pray about how the Lord would have you to participate, come before the Lord with an offering, and the Lord will bless you as you give, and the Lord will multiply as you give. And also, if you would take it upon yourself and pray about your part in taking the gospel to the nations in Africa. We're going to be doing 3 crusades over there this year, one in Congo, one in Uganda, and one in Nairobi at Daystar University, a Christian university there in Nairobi. And so if you would pray about your part in participating in that, come before the Lord with an offering, and we would be very grateful. The Lord would be grateful. And so we just pray that you would consider that as you listen today. Consider that as you pray about how you would like to participate in expanding the kingdom. And we just thank you for those of you who have done that in the past, who have helped to participate and write support checks. We're also in the process of building an orphanage over in Mumias, Kenya. We have the land secured, and we're just waiting on the Lord to get the money to build the orphanage. We're asking the Lord, trusting the Lord for $20,000 to build the orphanage. And so if you would consider doing that, that would be a great blessing also. Just to make out a check to help build that orphanage for 30 to 40 children who have been orphaned because of the AIDS epidemic. And so we just thank the Lord for all that he's doing there in this ministry. And we just pray that you would participate and be blessed by the way that you participate also. There's a couple of ways that you can contact us. First, by regular mail at Box 92, Norton, Kansas. That's Gather the Outcast Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. And you can also contact us through the World Wide Web at gathertheoutcast.com. That's our website, gathertheoutcast.com. Or you can go to a blog, teaching blog, jimrao.blogspot.com. jimrao.blogspot.com is a teaching blog, and you can find over 300 teachings there on gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare, and other teachings that you would be interested in. And on both the blog and the website, there's a PayPal button that you can make a contribution with your credit card safely, conveniently, and do that on the blog or the website. And so we just ask the Lord to intercede for this ministry, to touch your heart with the Holy Spirit today, and just make an offering. Come before the Lord with an offering, and you will be blessed, and you will feel like you're a part of this ministry. You'll feel like that you're on the mission field when I go to the mission field. And again, if you want to be on that email list and you want to be contacted with updates and also teachings, just let me know at pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com is the email. So once again, the mailing address, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. The email is pureprairie@hotmail.com, and the website, gatheredtheoutcast.com. I would like to hear from you, and I thank you for those of you who have participated in the past. Well, we're going to have a teaching this morning on the anointing of Jesus and how it applies to your life, as we do a teaching here that leads up to Easter Sunday next Sunday. And so we're going to have a teaching on the anointing of Jesus and how it applies to your life. And so stay tuned for that. We'll take that up right after our prayer time here in just a minute. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come before you today to speak your word, to praise your mighty name, to worship you, and to look into your word, your holy word, the Bible. And so we just thank you for those that are out there listening today. Lord, we ask you to touch them and meet them wherever they're at. We pray for those that need a touch of healing. We ask you to give them healing. And for those who need discernment and encouragement, we pray that you would give that to them. For those who need salvation, Lord, we ask you to let the Holy Spirit convict them and lead them to you, that they would open up their hearts and receive what you have for them today. And so we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the provision. And we pray, Lord, that more would come alongside and participate and be a part of this ministry to help support the radio broadcast and the mission work in Africa. And we just thank you for that opportunity. Lord, we pray for this city, that it would be a city of refuge. And we pray for our nation, for our president, for the Congress, for the Supreme Court. And we pray for our troops overseas, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them safe, out of harm's way. We pray for their families, their children especially. And we ask you to bless them. Lord, we thank you for your word that teaches and instructs, reproofs, and rebukes us. And as we look into your word today, we ask you, Lord, to just give us a blessing that we could know your word, that we could hide it in our hearts and move forward with you in the kingdom, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you for this opportunity. We pray all this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We're going to look into the anointing on Jesus Christ and how he was anointed to bring the message of hope to this earth, how he was anointed to set the captives free. And as I speak the words of the gospel this morning, I'm going to start in Isaiah 61, and so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Isaiah 61, chapter 61. We're going to start in verse 1, and as I speak the words of the gospel this morning and the truth of the gospel, I want you to understand that as I'm talking about Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, I hope your Lord, your Savior, that as I'm talking about him this morning, I don't want you to relate to this message just as a history lesson. I want you to relate to this message as Jesus Christ is alive today. He is alive, and as we will approach the Easter season, the resurrection day next week, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is alive. He sits on the throne next to the Father, next to Jehovah God. He sits on the throne, and he is alive today, and your relationship with him is the most important thing in your walk with the Lord, your relationship. It's not about a history lesson, although it's very good to know the Bible. It's very a blessing to know the Bible, to know about the life of Jesus. And if you don't know about the life, I suggest you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and just continue to read those, reread them, read them over again, and soak in the presence of His Word, soak in the presence of who He is. And as you read those Gospels, He will come alive in your heart. If you just keep reading those passages, Jesus will come alive in your heart. Just reading His Word will transform your life. But even more than that, rather than to look at Jesus just as a historical figure, or look at Him as the events of His life as a history lesson, I want you to think about a relationship with Jesus Christ that is alive in your life and alive in your heart today, that you can have a relationship with your Creator, that you can be restored and redeemed and bought back by the blood of Jesus, and you can have a relationship with your Creator that will give you a strength, it will give you hope, it will give you power, it will give you authority over the enemy in your life. And so as you look at Jesus and His life, and as we talk about Him, I want to impress upon you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ is alive today. And that is the beauty of the Christian faith. It's not like any other religion. It's not about religion. It's not about rituals and tradition. And yes, God wants us to meet, and He wants us to worship in corporate manner. He wants us to meet in fellowship and to worship, but it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that takes it out of the realm of religion. There's no other religion on the earth, no other God that is coming back again. There's no other God that rose up out of the grave. There's no other God that we can call Redeemer. And so Jesus Christ wants you to come into a personal relationship with Him. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is your personal relationship. And then Jesus was anointed to come alive in your life. He was anointed to do certain things in your life that would change your life, not only on this earth, because our time on this earth is fleeting. Our time on this earth is brief, as you all know, but also for all eternity. Even beyond anything that we can think or imagine or accomplish here on this earth, that Jesus Christ came that we could know Him for all eternity, and that we could be blessed by our relationship with Him for all eternity. Well, in Isaiah 61, if you'll turn there in your Bible, Isaiah prophesied 650 years or so before Jesus set foot on this earth. And Isaiah is probably the most prophetic book in the Old Testament in regards to the life of Jesus. And in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted," or good news to the poor. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion, and instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs." Well, that scripture again was prophesied by Isaiah, and he was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. He was saying that the Spirit of the Lord will be on this Messiah, and that He will bring an anointing and an authority and a power to this earth. And Jesus, when He began His ministry, He went into the temple in Galilee. In Luke 4:14, It says Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and this is immediately after Jesus had been taken up into the wilderness area. He was led up into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit took him up there so Jesus could have a face-off, you might say. He could come face-to-face and one-on-one with the devil, the destroyer, the one who was standing between him and ministry, the one who was standing between him and resurrection, the one who was standing between Jesus and fulfillment of God's kingdom here on this earth. And so the devil squared off against Jesus, and Jesus quoted scripture back to him in the wilderness area three different times, and the devil offered Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world, and Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord your God, or you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so Jesus was certain about his ministry. He knew why he came to this earth. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what his mission was. And so he defeated the devil, and he defeated him there in the wilderness area. He defeated him at the whipping post. He defeated him at the cross. He defeated him in a tomb. And Jesus went then to hell, and he took the keys away from the devil, the keys to release the captives and take them up out of hell and set them at the right hand of God, give them freedom for all eternity. And so Jesus did the same for us. And he explains this when he goes into the temple then after coming out of the wilderness area, starting in Luke 4:14. He says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in the synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And so Jesus begins to read that same passage of Scripture that we just read, the prophetic word about Jesus that was given by the prophet Isaiah 650 years before. Jesus started to read that in the hearing of the men sitting there in the synagogue. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And verse 20, he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so Jesus told them that today this scripture has been fulfilled. In other words, he was saying to him that this passage of scripture, and all the men in the synagogue knew the passages from Isaiah. They probably had them all memorized. They were very familiar with them. And he was just saying that today those scriptures that have been prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, those scriptures, he said, they are fulfilled this day in me. You're looking at the one who has fulfilled those scriptures. You're looking at the one who will set the captives free. You're looking at the one who was sent here as a fulfillment of all of that Isaiah wrote about 650 years ago. And so we're going to look at the first three or four things here that Jesus said about himself, three or four things that he proclaimed about himself, that the power of the Holy Spirit was on him. And the first thing that he said about himself was that he was going to bring good news to the afflicted or to the poor. And what is the good news? The good news is that, brothers and sisters, that death has no power over us. The good news is that we have hope in this life. And what could be more encouraging than to know that we have hope in this life? When you look around and you look at the headlines on the news every day, and you see all the wars, and you see all the tumult, and you see all the terrorist activity, and the child slavery, and all of these things that are going on in the earth, the drug cartels, and all of this violence, and it just is very discouraging. It's very hopeless, you might say, but in Jesus Christ we have hope. In him we can know hope for all eternity. And Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, those who are poor in spirit, those who hunger for me, Jesus said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so if you are poor in spirit today, if you are searching today, if you are hungry for the word today, know that Jesus Christ is for you. Know that Jesus Christ is for you and not against you, that he wants to come in and fill up that hunger that he has in you, that hunger that was created by the Lord God himself. And that hunger was created, it tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11, that God gave us eternity in our hearts, and that all of those things that he desires for us, that he wants us to have, we can have. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And so God wants us to be filled. He wants us to be filled. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek me first and my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so God wants us to be filled. He wants us to be filled not only with the Holy Spirit, but he wants us to be filled with peace and contentment. He wants us to be filled with the joy of knowing that we have a relationship with our Creator, with our Savior. And so as you understand that Jesus came, he came for us, those that were poor in spirit. He came to bring us the good news that we don't have to be in bondage to the devil. We don't have to be in bondage. We don't have to fear death. The greatest fear of all mankind is the fear of death. And Jesus said that, "I have come to bring you good news." Romans 10:13. "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And verse 14, "How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As if to say, as if it is written, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news." And so as you send out preachers, as you contribute to this ministry and to your home church and to other ministries, understand that the Lord will bless your money that you give into kingdom purposes. The Lord will bless you supernaturally. When you share that which has been given to you, when you share that which you have been blessed with back into the kingdom, the Lord then will bless you, and he will pour upon you a blessing of open up the windows of heaven. He'll pour on you a blessing so big you can't hold it all. And that is his desire, that we get out also, as Jesus shared the good news, that we get out and share the good news. And so when I come before you and I ask for contributions, I ask for support to go to Africa, understand, brothers and sisters, this isn't about me. This isn't about, you know, trying to exalt myself or boast in any way. It's just to say that I am a preacher, and I want to share the good news with the afflicted, with those who are poor in Africa, and I want you to be a part of it. And so as you become a part of it, then you too share in the blessing. Secondly, Jesus said that he came to bind up the brokenhearted. Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." And so Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, take it upon you, my load is light." And if you carry my load, Jesus says, you're gonna not fall under the burden. You're not going to be stumbling under the burden, because Jesus said, "When I come to lift you up, I will carry you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you." Deuteronomy 31:6. He says, "I'll be there to carry you when you're too weak to carry yourself, when you're too weak to stay on the road." Jesus said, "You just yoke yourself to me, and I will be there with you." And so if you are brokenhearted today, and many of us have trouble in our heart, we have affliction in our heart, we have broken hearts due to broken relationships with our family, with our children, maybe through divorce or death in the family. We have broken hearts, and Jesus said, I came to lift up the broken hearts. I came to encourage those who have wounds and who are broken. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's no better way to get your heart healed than just to come before the Lord and say, Jesus, would you heal my heart? Would you put that balm of Gilead on the scars of my heart? And when you do that, he will be faithful and true to bind up your broken heart. Well, thirdly, Jesus said, I came to proclaim liberty to the captives. And Jesus was speaking about those who were in bondage to sin, those who were in bondage to addictions and afflictions in their life that were holding them in captivity. And I know there's some out there listening to me today that are in bondage to pornography or bondage to cigarette addiction or alcohol addiction or drug addiction. I know there's some out there listening today who are feel like you're a prisoner to these things, that the bars are around you and you can't escape, you can't get away. And I just want you to know that Jesus Christ will set you free. He said in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, do not take up this yoke of slavery again, or do not be subject to this yoke of slavery again. And so Jesus came to set you free from any bondages that you have. He wants you to be cleansed. He wants you to be free. My own testimony, many of you know, I was involved in drugs and alcohol and wild living out in the wilderness area for a few years, and Jesus came and he set me free from all that, and now I'm free of that. I don't have any temptation to go back to it, and God just wants to do that for you. He wants to set you free from whatever it is that's binding you to the devil. He wants to set you free so that you can move forward in the kingdom, that you can move forward with strength and power and authority in the kingdom. John 8:32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so that freedom that Jesus has for you, you can have it for yourself. You can pick it up and take it for yourself. You can walk in freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. And so you can walk in that freedom and move forward in it as you proceed from day to day, and you will not be held back. You will not be held in bondage by those things that once crippled you and once held you. And lastly, Jesus declared freedom to the prisoners, and he wasn't necessarily talking about those who are incarcerated. He was talking about those who are in prison to different things that the devil has come against them, discouragement, despair, depression, all of those things that the devil comes against you. He tells you you're full of shame, that you're full of humiliation. And Jesus said, no, I came to set you free. I don't want you to walk in those things. I want you to walk in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and in the freedom that I have for you. And Paul says in Philippians 4 that he's content in all things, that he is content in all things. He came to the point where he is content. And that's what God desires for you, that you be content, that you not be anxious, that you not be full of worry and fear and anxiety and stress and trouble and strife. And Paul said in Philippians 4:10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, Paul says, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having both abundance and suffering need, and I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And so as we look at Paul's life, we also desire that for ourselves, that we can come to know Jesus, and in all things, Christ will strengthen us to move forward in his kingdom. Well, brothers and sisters, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, know that he loves you. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood just for you. Get down on your knees today and do business with the Lord. Get down on your knees and thank the Lord for saving you. Invite him into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me. I trust you that you can take my sins and forgive my sins as you died on the cross and shed your blood for me. And if you do that, repent of your sins, follow it up with Christian baptism, and the Lord will be faithful and true, and you will be saved for all eternity. Well, next week we're going to talk about the resurrection. We're going to talk about Jesus on the cross and how he died for you, how he shed his blood for you, and the resurrection that gives us eternal life with him, the victory that overcomes all of the works of the devil. And we just look forward to that. Tune in again next week. Thanks for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week.